Welcome to Sunday Assembly Madison. We're a godless congregation that celebrates life. My name is Matt Kenyon. I'll be the MC for today, the master of ceremonies, if you will. To all the familiar faces, it's a pleasure to see you again. If this is your first time, welcome to our community. We usually meet right here at James Reed Unitarian. Our calendar is available on our website, listed on the back of your program. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sunday Assembly Madison. Our motto is live better, help often, and wonder more. Our theme today is positive change. Our speaker this month is Sharon Yildiz. Her two friends, Dash and Savvy, join her today. Sharon and her dogs compete successfully in obedience, agility, sheep herding, disc or frisbee, competitive weight pull, protection sports, and many others. Beginning her competition career in 1977, Sharon was one of the first competitors to switch to all positive training in 1995. Since then, she's earned over 80 titles in a dozen dog sports, something accomplished only by a fraction of a percent of dog sports competitors in the world. Sharon left the University of Wisconsin prior to completing her PhD dissertation in zoology and animal behavior in order to launch a successful business as a dog trainer and behavior consultant. During her 7 years in the business, Sharon taught 700 group obedience and agility students and worked with over 300 dogs in their homes. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Sharon.
Thank you, everybody. And thanks to Vesna and Naomi for inviting me to come here. I am actually a technical writer at a biotech company, but dog training has been something I've done for about 40 years, and it's really my big love. I have studied it through books and videos and going to clinics and seminars all over the world, and my dogs have performed in 5 countries on television so far. The littlest one that you'll see here, he's my newest dog, and he has performed a few times for functions like this, but not on TV. He's the first one in 30 years that hasn't, but I have my fingers crossed. So anyway, I'm going to talk today about 8 ways to change behavior. And these are taken from a book by Karen Pryor. Karen Pryor is kind of a household word in dog and dolphin training. She was the first person to ever train a dolphin. And she did that at Sea Life Park in Hawaii in the early 60s. She used a lot of university research from B.F. Skinner to figure out how to train dolphins, because they were the first animal anybody tried to train that you couldn't put a choke collar on it or a bridle on it and try to force it to do what you wanted. So she came up with these 8 different ways to change behavior. There's 4 bad ones and 4 good ones. Is this better? No, because it's not on. Is it on? Is it on? Okay. All right, so there are 4 bad guys and 4 good guys, and we're going to go through them each one at a time, and most of this talk is just going to be pictures. And I'm going to show you an example for each of those 8 ways, and then I'm going to let you guys guess a couple of other examples. You'll see what I mean when we get there. Okay, so our example problems we're going to use is a dog barking for attention. That's a behavior that most people would like to get rid of, right? Another one is just a child drawing on the walls with crayons. And the third one, a factory polluting the environment. We can change behavior of factories, governments, and things like that too, as I'm sure people in the free thought community already know. But I decided to use that for one of the examples. All right, so the first method is removal. And that is where the subject is the person or animal that is doing the bad behavior that you want to change. This is where you can fine or remove them. So the good part about this is the behavior will stop right away, But the bad part is the subject doesn't learn anything, and they're likely to keep repeating that bad behavior wherever they go on to. So here's the barking dog example. You could destroy the dog. You could give it to a shelter, give it to a friend. Anybody want to shout out some other ways you could get rid of a barking dog? Put it out of the house. Excellent. Okay. So, but in all of those things, the dog is not going to learn anything from that, and it's going to go on and bark at the next home, too. Okay, so now we have a kid drawing on the walls. So how can we remove the subject?
Destroy all the brands.
Wow, that is an excellent idea. That's really, really good. And I came up with putting up a little gate to keep them from getting to the crayons. And so either one of those would be great. Okay.
That's not good.
Right. Okay, so now we have a factory that's polluting the environment. Any ideas how to remove it?
Arson.
Okay, well, I went a little bit calmer with a padlock over the gate and shutting down the factory. Ulysses, did you have one?
Blowing it up.
Blowing it up. Ah, well, we're going to try for a more passive. We're going to try for a more passive method. We'll just lock it up until it changes its ways. Okay. The second bad guy method of changing somebody's behavior is punishment. Now, does anybody here know the difference between punishment and negative reinforcement, which is going to be our next thing on the list?
Punishment is when you apply something aversive after some behavior, whereas negative reinforcement means there's some sort of stimuli that the subject doesn't like that disappears.
Oh my gosh, A++++. That was perfect. Very well said. Okay, so punishment is something where the subject has done the bad behavior, and then you do something that the subject does not like immediately following that. But there's no way that changing their behavior can help them to avoid the punishment at that moment. So it only works if it's very well timed and you do it at a high enough level. Karen Pryor gave a great example of this. Imagine that you are a speeder and you like to speed in your car. What usually happens when the police catch you speeding?
You get a ticket.
You get a ticket. How long do you have to pay it? Yeah, by the time you pay it and the check clears the bank and everything, you know, the deed that you did is long in the past. Now, what Karen Pryor says is for punishment to work for speeding, you would have to have some way that your car is set up so that as soon as you go over the speed limit, your car explodes. That's how well-timed punishment has to be. It has to occur, hopefully, in less than a second after the behavior. Punishment any longer than 1 second later is almost always ineffective. The other thing is you usually have to escalate punishment to keep it effective, because most animals and people will learn to kind of put up with low levels, and then you have to escalate it. So that's another reason that it's a bad guy. Oops, sorry, I'm going the wrong way. Okay, so punishment for barking dog could be, you know, violence, yelling at it, hitting it, something like that. Okay, punishment for a child. Now, let's think of only nonviolent methods. There are nonviolent methods of punishment.
Time.
Yeah! Ulysses?
Okay, so you put up one, and I have another. Lock him in his room.
Lock him in his room. That would be both a punishment and a removal, which was great. They can have some overlap. Did you have one? Oh, okay.
They can use their crayons in their room.
Oh, that's going to be for later. That's one of the good guys that we're going to get to. Okay, so factory, punishing the factory.
Fines.
Ta-da! Massive EPA fine fine increase for pollution. Okay. So now we have method three, negative reinforcement, which this gentleman explained very, very nicely. Negative reinforcement is where there's a kind of a low-level negative thing going on, and the subject can change their behavior to escape it. Now, that sounds kind of complicated, so I'll give you an everyday example. You get in your car, you turn on the key, and turn on the engine, and what sound do you hear besides the engine? Seatbelt sound, yes. The seatbelt sound is a negative reinforcer. It makes an annoying sound. It's not really punishing you. You haven't done anything right or wrong yet. You're just kind of sitting there in the car. You haven't really started driving. But it makes such an annoying sound that you want to change your behavior in order to turn off that nagging sound. And the way you change your behavior is you put your belt on. So this works well for deliberate misbehavior. When a subject has already been taught the correct behavior to do and they're still kind of willfully doing it their own way, but it can also cause resentment or fear, so that's it's still not good, even though it's a little better than punishment. Oops, I'm still going the wrong way. Okay, so with a dog, a negative reinforcement could be something like a citronella collar, where every time they bark, it sprays. That's also kind of a punishment, but it's very, very low level. And basically dogs just learn that if they don't want that lemon spray hovering around them all the time, they just need to be quiet. Okay, so now you've got a child, negative reinforcement. This is gonna be a low level. This is a hard one. Stern look. That's a negative reinforcer. You make that stern look, and the kid drops their crayons and backs away from the wall, and then you can smile. So they can turn off that low-level aversive by changing their behavior right away. Okay, the factory protests. That would be negative reinforcement. People protest, and when the factory changes its ways, the protests stop. So they're able to kind of turn off the punishment that they're receiving by changing their behavior. All right, and then the fourth bad guy method is extinction. And this is not really a too bad of a guy. This is where you ignore or don't acknowledge the bad behavior. This is where, for instance, if a dog is barking to try to get your attention, and you just turn your back on them every time and don't look at them, don't acknowledge them, don't even say no. You know, they'll fail to get your attention and stop barking. This method works if the behavior is not self-reinforcing. If you're getting really good hormones and stuff from doing that behavior, then that might not let extinction work. For instance, barking is hard to extinguish. So here I'm turning my back on the dog. I use this very often in training, but I do it very briefly. If the dog's doing something that I didn't ask him to do or whatever, I may just turn my back for just a split second. And this is a signal to the dog that that behavior is not what I was asking for and they should try something different. So here is one place extinction would not work. This is Savvy, who you'll see today. He was a Hallmark card model for 4 years, so this is one of his cards. So if this is behavior that is self-reinforcing, getting to eat cake, so turning your back on him while he's eating the cake is not going to have the effect that we're hoping for.
It's not a birthday until we do what you're not supposed to do.
That's right. Okay, so for a child, you're drawing on the walls, maybe they're trying to get your attention. Maybe you haven't been looking at them or playing with them enough and they're trying to get your attention. What could you do? Well, here's a mom who's just chatting on the phone and ignoring the child, and I think she figures that the kid will draw on the wall once and it'll lose its mystique if she doesn't pay too much attention to it. Okay, here's the factory. And so people or governments or consumers could refuse to deal with the factory. That would be an extinction method, if refuse to buy things from them. Okay, so now we're on to the good methods. Method 5 is the absolute best one. I love to do this. Teach an incompatible behavior. You teach the subject to do something that they can't simultaneously be doing the bad thing. So this is very good for long-term behaviors, but you do have to kind of know what you're doing as a trainer. And a trainer could be a parent, a spouse, a sibling. You can be a trainer, and as long as you're influencing the behavior of somebody else. And it doesn't have to be manipulative, but anytime that you praise a child, you're training them, so to speak, in the formal sense. Okay, so for a dog barking, it's hard for dogs to bark when they're laying down. So you could teach them to lay down on command and give them treats for laying down. Okay, what's an incompatible behavior with drawing on the wall?
Watching TV.
Reading. Excellent. Or drawing in an appropriate place. Okay, incompatible behavior with polluting. Just shout it out. What could this factory do to stop polluting? How about switching to something like wind energy and then getting, you know, government payments or something for switching to a less polluting method? All right, the next thing is putting the behavior on cue. This is where you say that you have a dog that's barking. You teach them how to speak on command and give them lots of treats for it. And they speak and they get a treat and they speak and they get a treat 100 times and they're doing great. Then they bark and you don't give them any more treats. Sometimes this will actually get dogs to stop barking because they go, huh, this used to earn me something. I'm not gonna bark for free. Does this lady think I'm crazy? I'm not barking for free. It used to be worth a pepperoni. So the good thing about it is if the behavior is already occurring, then you can mark when it's occurring by saying, yeah, that's what I want you to do, and then give them the treat, and then stop giving them the treat. It does not work for self-reinforcing behaviors like eating cake off of the counter. Okay, so here's a dog. You can teach them to speak on command and then stop giving them any more rewards for it. However, I could not think of any examples for the child or the factory where you would want to put polluting on cue or drawing on the walls. Did you have a
drawing on the walls? You can actually put paper over the walls.
Oh my gosh, that's great! Yes. You could put the behavior of drawing on the walls on cue, but switch the kid over to drawing on paper on the wall, and then you could take the paper off and put it somewhere, you know, like on a table or something the next time around. That is a very good idea. Good job. All right, and then method 7 is reward everything except the bad behavior. So this is, you're not trying to get them to do any particular thing. You just give them treats or praise or reinforcement for doing anything other than the bad behavior. In dogs, this is a great method for stopping aggression. Give them treats for doing everything except lunging and barking and growling, for instance. Okay, so here's a dog just hanging out, gets a treat. He's not barking. Anything he does is not barking, gets a treat. Kid drawing on the walls?
Kid not.
There's a kid not drawing on the walls, gets a nice hug from his dad. Mm-hmm. Okay, absence of polluting. How could we reward the absence of polluting?
Tax break.
Great, there we go. There, the smokestacks have stopped spewing smoke and they get a tax break. What do you know? And the last method, which is also a really excellent one, is to change the motivation. Which remove the reason why the animal or the person is doing that bad behavior in the first place. So with the barking dog, maybe he was frustrated or bored or needed some interaction with others. So you could take up dog agility or get him a little doggy friend to play with. with a child drawing on the walls, same thing. Maybe they need to burn off steam or have more social interaction, be read a story. And for the factory, here's the changing the motivation for polluting. They won't have any more motivation once solar's cheaper than coal. Anyway, that is the end of the talk, and now I'll do some dog tricks.
It doesn't have a switch.
Oh, okay. I'll just put it there then. So, I don't know if you guys are all going to be able to see from where you're seated, because I'll bring out my larger dog first, but then I'm going to bring out my dog that's like the micro auxiliary dog. And he's really, really tiny. So you may want to like come and sit in the first couple rows so that you can see better. So I'm going to start with my old retired guy.
Okay, Savvy, come on out.
So Savvy is 13. He's completely deaf. He's partially blind. he's still obnoxious. Savvy was a semi-finalist on Turkey's Got Talent in season one when we lived in Istanbul. He was a star of a Turkish sitcom. He was the number two frisbee dog in Turkey, and he's got 37 titles in 8 sports, I think. So he was just off herding sheep a couple weeks ago, so he's pretty active still for 13. And he loves his treats. But we'll just do a few tricks. Yeah. So, okay. Ready? Good boy. Okay, go around. Go around. Go around. Go around. Turn. Loop. 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 Yes, good job. Okay. Pretty. Good. Okay, now you're gonna dance. Come here. Okay, dance. It's hard for him at 13, but he's trying. Good boy. Here you go. That's good. Okay. Good. No. He thinks I'm saying his feet. Okay, Savvy. There you go. Okay. Now, wipe your nose. Here, wipe your face. Savvy. Wipe your face. Good. Wipe your face. Good. Here you go. All right. Sit. Lie down. He's gonna cross his feet. Cross. 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 Good. He'll put his head down and look sad now. Head. Stay. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Okay, good boy. All right, I'll get out the little guy now. All right, now, he gets uppity when I have my other dog out doing tricks. So I'm going to give him this rawhide for entertainment while he's in his crate. Does anybody know what method that is?
Incompatible behavior.
An incompatible behavior. Very good. Okay. Put it. There you go. I'm also combining it with
removal.
Very good. And if that fails, we have the citronella collar. All right, let's see. Okay, come on now. All right, so let's see. What do we start with? So this is Dash. Dash is a 4-year-old Papillon, and he has 22 titles in 4 sports so far. And his favorite is agility. He's very, very fast. He runs 5.5 yards per second in agility. And he earned his trick dog championship at 13 months old. He had to do 70 tricks to get it. So we'll try a few of them here. Come here. Let's try this one first. Pause. Good. 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 Keep going. Oh, it rolled off the carpet. We can't have that. Good boy. Here you go. Yes, that a boy. Good. All right. Here. Now play piano. Come here. Okay. Here, play your piano. Oh, play your piano. Good boy. Come on, play the piano.
He's usually standing in a different place for this. Okay, lie down. Lie down. Play the piano. He knows how to go to loop circles around jump stanchions, either right or left as directed. So I'll send him clockwise. Tap, 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 tap. Tap, tap, tap. Good, go on. And we're not, he's not, he's not, no, he's not peeing on it. He's trying to do a handstand. So he did already know how to make baskets, but I'm going to show you a couple of other things that he just learned for this performance today. He has different commands for using his nose and for using his paws. I'll move this up here so you can see it. So come on over here. I wanted him to flip this with his feet, that little football. Okay, let me put it where you guys can see it. Good. Pause. Good boy. Pause. Pause. Good. Good. There you go. That was nice. There you go. Now, this one, he could easily use his feet again because he just got rewarded for that. But I'm going to use a different command, touch, which means to push it with his nose. So come over here. Touch. Here. See this? Look. Touch. Good. Touch. Good. Keep going. Good. Good. Come on through there. Uh-huh. Good. Good. Touch. Good. Yes. There you go. Okay, so now we're going to do a basketball game. We'll turn that on. That'll show if he makes a basket or not. Okay, ready? Look at it. Go basketball. Come on. Dash. Make a basket. Go on. Dash. Make a basket. Good. Okay. Make a basket. Try again. He doesn't usually use that ball. Come on. Make a basket. Good. There you go. Come on. Make a basket. Good. Get it. Make a basket. Good. Make a basket. Good. All right. I'll show you that he has such accuracy that he can also make a basket with this little tiny ball and a little tiny basket, which we have not practiced in at least a year, so hopefully he'll nail it on the first try. Make a basket. Oh. Yes, there he is. He's almost as accurate as an NBA player. Every once in a while, too, from what I hear. All right, we'll do some stacking bowls. Hey, come on here. Sit. Wait. Come on over here. Okay, go get it. Get in there. Good. Go get the next one. Oops, once they turn over, it's all hopeless. Okay, go get that one. Go get it. Oh, not that one. I just dropped it. Go get the last one. Put it in there. No. Try it again. You're being lazy. You're being lazy. It's okay. Go get it. Put it in there. Oh! He also does formal obedience. He competes in obedience on the weekends. Wait. Get it? Come. Good. Good. Hold. Lie down. Sit. Come. Heel. Drop. Okay. Good job. And where are my treats? They're there. Thanks.
All right. So now we're going to do
a new one that he learned. He knew the first part of this, and then I added a little bit in the last couple days. So he used to know a command named Froggy, where he sticks his back legs out behind him. So we'll start with that. Lie down. Froggy. Lie down, Froggy. Good. And then we've turned that into Commando. So he's going to crawl like a commando. Lie down. Take Commando. Commando. Lie down. Lie down. Lie down. Commando. Lie down. Lie down. Commando. There you go. Good. He also does like standard tricks, like sit, pretty, pretty, good, lie down, roll over, roll, lie down, roll over. Like that's a baby trick. All the dogs know that one. That's a baby trick. All right. So now we have a box, and there's a game you can play with dogs that are learning new tricks to make them creative. 101 things to do with a box. And anything they do to interact with the box, if they touch it, they put their chin on it, they put 2 feet on it, they walk around it, they lay down next to it, they get in it, you reward it. But the trick is you never reward it more than twice. Once they've had 2 treats for that, they've got to move on and try something different. So one of the things that he, of course, did when we were learning that trick was just to get into the box with all fours. And, okay, get out. So then we got a smaller box, and I see that I forgot to bring those in from the car, but we went through various smaller boxes until gradually he was standing in something this size. He can actually balance in an ashtray that's 4 inches across that I bought at a thrift store. That's the smallest thing he's ever got into. But he has to have a lot of core muscles, and we haven't been practicing this lately, so I'm just using a little bit bigger thing. But we'll see if he can get in there with 4 feet. Four in. Does he got him in yet?
Yeah.
Oh, is he cheating?
I like dogs that whisper instead of making too much noise.
We'll do a couple spins for you. Circle. Come here. Circle. Circle, 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 circle. Yes, there you go. Donut. Donut, donut, donut. And let's see. Do you have any more? We got lots more, but I think we'll just end there. It's probably enough time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You probably won't be needing those.
Yeah. There you are. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thanks to Sharon and Dash and Savvy. So, some thoughts. Change. Benjamin Disraeli said, change is inevitable. Change is constant. It's so true, so simple, yet so profound. Change happens all the time. We can't defy its steam engine charge down the tracks of time. What we can do is guide it in our lives. We can divert those tracks towards positive change. I experienced some change recently. I had a birthday a little over a week ago. Not just any birthday, my 40th. And yes, I have ID available if anybody questions. It caused me to reflect on my life and how I've developed as a person. I started examining what was different about me and what I had learned during my 30s. I found myself looking at the lessons I had learned and the ones I hadn't. It became apparent that one of the biggest lessons I learned was to pay attention to what was important in life, to find the goodness in life. Sometimes we find that those things that seemed so stimulating and fulfilling really aren't doing for us what we thought, and that other things that we had been neglecting are the sweeter things. As I reflect and make changes in my life, I realize that those changes, like a train whistle in the night, can be heard at great distances. The positive changes in my life can be, and often are, influential in others' lives as well. My own personal positive changes can help others find their way in the dark. As I try to remove the crap in my life, I make a cleaner path for others. My change, a change for the better, is a change for the betterment of society. Our change for the better is better change for all. Thank you all for coming, and have a great month.